I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes until somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. You know what, Mike Bell? You know, you can't say anything these days. You know that?
You think?
You can't say anything. You know, you got to watch everything you say.
Tell me about it.
It's ridiculous.
What was the most recent example of this nonsense?
You know, I find myself at times now, you know, in years past, I would have not cared and said whatever was on my mind. And now you just have to be so careful with everything you say. And nothing specific. It just got me thinking today about it. And we always talk about it, you and I, and how it used to be. Where you could say something, crack a joke, people would laugh, people get it.
No, that's a trigger for me, and that's not cool. And now I must have you banned from everything.
Yeah, so that is the world we live in. I'll tell you the other world we live in. We live in a world where Don Mattingly's a jerk.
He always has been. Now, I'm not a Yankee fan, so I never got an autograph from Don. All I know is from what I read in the L.A. papers, the Dodger players, to a man, hated his guts. They couldn't wait for Don to get gone. And obviously, Dave Roberts has come in and had more success, and the Dodgers, everything but winning the World Series. I don't get it. I mean, Don must not have been paying attention to what happened here before he got into town. But a second time in a year now, 2 years in a row, that they've been our boy, Ronald Acuna.
Yeah, I know some of you are going to say this today. Dukes and Bell, we got a division to win. There's more important things. I hear you guys. But this is not a coincidence. This is the first pitch is never a coincidence, okay? And this is the thing that you need to try to get with baseball. And sometimes in baseball, pitchers do get away. And sometimes pitchers lose control or they go inside and a ball gets away from them. But, Mike, when you talk about the first pitch of a game and the coincidence that this happened a year ago, a year and 5 days to the date,
right?
It's not. And this guy's, to me, is coming from their jerk manager, Don Mattingly, who's saying, you know what? Acuna's killing us. This guy's we can't get this guy out. So you know what? We're going to send a message again. Acuna, 8 home runs this season against the Marlins. So the deal is the Braves win last night, but again, Mike, it's overshadowed by this nonsense from a team that's not going anywhere anytime soon, and Don Mattingly, who's from the old school,
right,
pulling this crap to try to hurt Acuna. And I say that because he didn't get hurt again, but last night, did you see how fired up Ronald Acuna was after he got beamed?
Big time, man. He was 1-for-11. I'm going to go back. I'm going to see what he did last time he was down in Miami. He was lighting them up. You know, even though, obviously, we had some strange outings down there, he had, up again, 1, 2, 3. I'm looking at the home runs. Yeah, he had a couple of dingers, had a bunch of RBIs. And you know when Ronald Acuna is coming around second and he's getting towards third, he does this little stutter step thing. Maybe that's the latest trigger for Don Mattingly. Look, the good news is Don Mattingly and his amazing style of management will soon be out of baseball because Jeter's going to run him at the end of the year anyway.
I hope so.
Everyone knows it. And then he can go do this for the Rhode Island Red Hens or something in the Triple A. I don't know. Mattingly is a tool. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't get it. And I the other thing I don't understand is how come it's Snitker who's the most vocal and the most physical presence as soon as this goes down? I want the entire team.
Everybody
off the top step. Now, usually you'd expect Josh Donaldson to be the guy. I just want to see him turn during warm-ups and just wing a ball into the dugout automatically. But you're right. I mean, and maybe we'll see something tonight. I don't know. You're right. Bigger fish to fry. But what happens if, again, hits Acuña on the elbow, hits him on the forearm?
And he's out.
Like Markakis, how Markakis got hit like on the end of the hand. And then we lose a guy, and then we may potentially lose a chance to win the division.
So the numbers scream that the manager saw what Acuña was doing at the leadoff spot. 15 home runs in two seasons. That's 34 games against the Marlins. He's hitting he's got 336 average. A 336 average against the Marlins. So he's killing him. And this is what the manager does. Hernandez doesn't do this by himself. All right.
He had six RBIs against Miami. I just looked it up. Last time we played down there when Keuchel had the bad outing, Ronald had six RBIs in those four games down there in Miami.
So, guys, that was the unfortunate thing. And the good news is Ronald's fine. He had every right to be ticked off. But let's talk about the game. Because Freddie Freeman last night carried our squad, and he's been doing this practically all year. As much as we've talked about Acuña, and he's been great. Freddie now over the 100 RBI mark, Mike. And, you know, quiet is kept. Here's a guy that should be in the MVP conversation as well. Freddie's doing his thing. Two home runs, four RBI last night. Braves do win. Keuchel gave you a quality start. Six innings, one earned run. I'll take it.
Right.
I would have liked for him to go seven or eight, but at the end of the day, he did his job. And then the bullpen, Mike, Luke Jackson, Shane Green, Chris Martin, they all come in and they get the job done. So where are you now in this bullpen? How are you feeling now about this bullpen? Now, I'm not going to tell you, you know, again, this is not the best bullpen ever. I'm not going to tell you that. But I will tell you I feel a little bit better than I did 2.5, 3 weeks ago when these guys came in with all the high expectations. And maybe it was just an adjustment period. But last night, you know, the Shane Green thing, Mike, one inning, he gave up a couple of hits and then gets out of the inning. So it was a positive on so many fronts, guys, starting pitching good. The hitting continues to happen with Freeman and company. And then the bullpen stepped up last night. You get a win against a team that's not really good. We win six of our past eight, and Ronald Acuña's fine. But I didn't like it, and I said it last year, and everybody said, oh, you're making a big deal out of it. You don't hit my dude twice like this with the first pitch, and nothing happens.
No, it's like we've got a bit of a history with these guys, you know, going all the way back to Fernandez, the pitcher that passed away, that we've had some run-ins with these guys over the years. And this is one of those things where you got to protect your star player, you know. And, you know, I know that some younger guys will say the unwritten rules. Because, again, for instance, like, you know, having an Acuña, you know, ride the bench after, you know, lollygagging should have been a double. That's an old school baseball thing that still works. That's an old school baseball move, Carl, that still makes sense. It's a good teaching lesson for all the young players. And there are so many young players in this franchise. So that's one that works. You know, but does the eye for an eye thing still count? Does it still matter in baseball? Should we lose a guy to a 5-game suspension if he goes headhunting? Problem was, Madley took his pitcher out before we got a chance to return the favor.
Well, here's the other part of this, Mike. I mean, the bigger issue last night, and we'll talk more about this, guys. It is Dukes and Bell. We invite you to follow us across all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. This radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. The home plate umpire, Alan Porter, gave warnings. And then Hernandez hit Echeverria in the fourth or fifth inning, I believe it was, and still didn't get run. What are you giving warnings for?
What's the point if you're not going to execute the ejection, right?
So, I mean, the idea last night was, yeah, Hernandez was expendable in the mind of Don Mattingly. And, guys, they're not playing for anything. That's the other side of this is, you know, if the Marlins were a contender, if this was the Nats, Mike, or the Phillies, and they were trying to do this to Acuña, I'd feel a little bit different. Because I get it. They're trying to send a message and get back in this thing. The Marlins are playing for nothing.
Right.
This was personal because Acuña's been kicking their ass.
It's just we're in a tough spot because we want to see Keuchel, you know, because of our bullpen. You could argue, and there was no way that Keuchel could have thrown him the one at bat where he faced the music Hernandez, right? I mean, you really couldn't have. Old school is you want Keuchel to put one right in his ear hole.
That's what I wanted.
But unfortunately, then you're up. Unfortunately, you're subjecting yourself to, you know, 6 2/3 of the bullpen,
yeah,
which nobody wants to see.
No, and Mike, here's the bigger thing, and you're right. Do I want to see Dallas Keuchel gone for potentially 5 games? I mean, it might be 2 starts. Who knows? No, I don't. Keuchel did the right thing last night. He pitched through. He got in. He got out. We got the W. But we've said this, Mike, and we've talked about it time and time again, and with this Braves team especially. If you are a contender, if you are a first-place division team like we are, if you are a championship-caliber club, you don't let this crap stand. Period. That's just what it is. Because you're going to get into September, and some teams are going to challenge you, Mike, and go, well, you know what? Stinking Marlins hit Acuna, and they didn't do jack, so we're going to do the same thing. We're going to take them out of this series.
Although, like I said, I just do think there's just a creep gene that runs with Don Mattingly, because we've seen this before. There's, for some reason, he's got a mean on for Acuna. It's quite obvious, you know? So the good news is the Marlins are a joke, and, you know, at some point we won't have to see Don Mattingly anymore. But it is a concern, you're right, because there is an old-school element to this, and justice must be served.
All right, guys, love to hear from you, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We got a big show for you today.
Oh, by the way, lost in all this, Nationals lost to the Pirates last night, so we're back to six-game lead in the East.
Yeah, and again, those are things that are out of our control. You got to win. This is why I said you got to beat up on the Marlins head-to-head. But when they help us out, those other squads that are chasing us, so be it. Hey, guys, Shaquille O'Neal is going to join us here in about 10 minutes. Shaq's got a lot of stuff going on, and we'll chop it up with him. We'll also ask him about the Hawks and some other things that are going on. But he's got an event going on literally right down the street from where we're at here, Mike, across the street over by Georgia Tech. We'll tell you all about that. Shaq's going to join us in 10 minutes. Also coming up on the show a little bit later on today, we've got our Five Stripes preview. You know, we talked about Atlanta United yesterday with Darren Eales. If you missed that interview, it's online at 929thegame.com. Darren talking about where we are as a club right now. Everything seems to be clicking. Right. We'll talk with Mike Conte about that. And the legendary Dale Murphy's on the way. We'll get Murph's take on this whole ordeal that happened last night. And we'll talk more about where this Braves team is. It's all on the way. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. It is Dukes and Bell. Guys hitting us up talking about the Braves. Dukes and Bell, do you think they'll respond? We'll explain why they should here in just a minute. Right now, though, let's talk to the big fella, Shaquille O'Neal. And, Shaq, it's good to have you on the program again, brother. It's Dukes and Bell here in the ATL, man. And congratulations on all the success and things you got going on. How you been, man?
I'm doing good. I want to say I miss you guys. I listen to you guys all the time. You guys do a great job of talking about certain stuff. I appreciate you guys for keeping it all the way 1,000, too.
1,000?
That's what we do, brother.
So, big man, what made you get involved with this Papa John's thing? I got friends, like, hitting me up, like, yo, what's up with Shaq? What's going on? I said, I don't know, but we'll ask him today. What's the deal?
Well, I've always been in the franchising business, right? Mm-hmm. And ever since being a little kid, I'd be chased for dreams, right? So, listen to this story. It's a true story. So I'm sitting, and you know how we are as athletes. We like useless titles.
True.
We do. We like the best this, the best that. So one day I'm looking at a magazine that says, oh, the most successful businessman after the NBA is. I'm thinking it's either going to be Magic Mike or me. It's none of us. It's a guy by the name of Junior Bridgman. You know Junior Bridgman?
No.
Okay, Junior Bridgman played for the Milwaukee Bucks. He's a fabulous player. He owns about 100, 200 Wendy's. He's making a killer.
Wow.
So after I saw that, I started getting into the franchise business because, you know, we see people that are above us. We see people that are similar to us, and we want to be similar or even better at times. So I got into the franchise business. First one I was with was Five Guys. I had 155 Five Guys.
Right.
They're very successful. Sold those. Then I got into Krispy Kreme. I've always wanted to get into Papa John's, and then the thing happened.
Right.
So when the thing happened, I was like, I'm all the way out. Mm-hmm. Don't want to talk to him. That's over.
Because, right.
Listen, I've been eating Papa John's when I was in college at 17. So then a beautiful young sister of mine, Dawn Wade, said, hey, Papa John's interested. I said, well, if they're interested, you already know what has to go down. Okay, I'm not having a conversation with an old boy. It's like, he's gone. I said, I want to buy a couple franchises in Ohio, and I need a seat on the board. Because as I'm doing my due diligence, y'all don't have no brothers on the board.
Right.
So they said, okay, let me get back to you. They agreed. And, you know, the guy who took over, Jeff Smith, is a very brilliant businessman. He's now in charge. Steve Ritchie is the CEO, and I'm coming off the bench.
Nice.
It's a good thing. I bought 10 in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It's my city. I've been living there for 20 years. I love Atlanta. I love the people. I got a lot of stores. I'm doing a grand opening at the Georgia Tech store. I think it's Saturday.
Yep.
Is it Saturday or Friday?
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. I'm doing the grand opening. I urge people to just come by and just check it out. All my stores will have my signature Shaq autograph on it. And, you know, great pricing, great customer service, and it's time to get this thing back on track. Listen, when the thing went down,
yeah,
I was upset.
Right.
I was upset. We all were upset. But, you know, I felt in my heart that leadership needed to be changed. And Jeff Smith came in, and, you know, he's revamping everything. He got myself on the board. He got some beautiful young ladies on the board. He got some Hispanics on the board. Mm-hmm. It's a very diverse board now, and we look forward to getting back on track.
You recognize the voice of Shaquille O'Neal, guys, giving us a no-nonsense assessment of how everything went down, because you don't want to see the employees suffer. That's what's really, you know, ultimately what's important here, keeping these guys to have their J-O-B. The Papa John's guys, corner of State Street and 10th, that's what Shaq is talking about on Tech's campus. Shaq, Saturday, August 24th, noon to 5. It's free, open to the public. Everybody comes out. And, Shaq, you are an entrepreneur in the classic Machiavellian sense of the word, because every time we watch TV, we can't go a commercial break without seeing you on a commercial. I mean, you're making some coin, man, and good for you.
I have no idea what you're talking about. That's not me. I have a twin brother that lives in Lawrenceville.
In Lawrenceville.
No, I mean, it could be everything from, you know, home products, home insurance. And, hey, this is your time to shine, man. I mean, did it all start for you when you were doing blue chips, or do you knew you were going to be multimedia when you first got to the NBA?
No, I actually failed marketing class in college because the professor said big guys don't sell. So he actually made a good point because, you know, the climate of television when I was in high school was only Jordan, Magic, and Bird. No big guys. No Kareem, no Sampson, no Ewan, no nothing. So I went back to my room and I'm kind of, I don't like to use the word depressed. So let's just say I'm feeling kind of sad. I'm down. And as I'm sitting there, this dumb dog had about 10 commercials. Spuds McKenzie. You remember him?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking at him like, how the hell does this dog got 20 commercials? And then I realized every commercial he did was funny. So I said to myself, if I ever get the chance to do a commercial, I just got to show people that I'm funny. So whenever I do commercials, it's not about the selling point of the commercial. It's about something that'll make you smile.
It is Shaquille O'Neal, Hall of Famer, Shaquille O'Neal. By the way, Playboy, we always use your term, bum, on the show.
Bum.
Just because we like to say that. Mm-hmm. And for you, as you look at the Atlanta Hawks and what we've done, because we got to ask you a hoops question, and what you're doing with Papa John's is amazing. You talk about the transformation of an organization and a chain like this and new leadership, and you're a part of it. You're on the board. Again, August 24th, noon to 5, guys, down here right at 10th Street on Georgia Tech's campus is where his Papa John's is going to be. He'll be there for a big party. It's free to the public, by the way. But what do you think about what's going on with the Hawks here, man? You live in Atlanta. You know the deal.
First of all, I don't like when you guys make fun of me. I love it. So keep doing it. You can use my voice. Please, because, listen, it makes people laugh. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. This is what we need now. Hawks. You want my honest answer?
Yes.
I have no idea what's going on with the Hawks. Reason is I'm part owner of the Sacramento King. I know what's going on with that. Mm-hmm. I know you got a great young fella by the name of Trey Young. I know you got a nice veteran to keep guys in the line and Vince Carter. I really don't know much about the Hawks. I apologize to the city of Atlanta, but I think Atlanta likes me because I keep it real.
No.
Really Hawks,
and you know what? That's fine. I'm glad you answered it honestly and didn't go on a tangent about what you thought and it was completely off base. Speaking of the Kings, you and Vlade get along?
We don't have to get along. He works for me.
Because you called them the Queens back in the day.
Queens.
And, you know, and, what are you going to do?
Nothing. And he didn't do anything then either. It's Shaquille O'Neal joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys. Again, he's involved with Papa John's. And I know a lot of people, if you missed that first part there, he kind of explained the background. I thought it was perfect, Shaq,
right,
as you laid things out. Are you still – how much are you in the music game? I tell this story every time we have you on, or at least I try to. My time with Shaq goes way back, guys. We met in high school at a concert, and Shaq was with one of his boys, and he's like, I want to introduce you to this guy. And Shaq, at the time, I think you were like 6'8". And I was like, what's up? And you had the big dookie rope chain on. I forget what – it was at a concert at like Joe and Harry Freeman Coliseum. And we kicked it, and we had a good time. But, you know, fast forward all these years, you've always loved music and been around in the music game. How much are you involved in it now?
I'm big in the DJ world now. I DJ dubstep and trap and all that. And for me, it's like a rendition of a Game 7. What I mean by Game 7, tied, cities behind you, you win this game's championship. So it's our job as a performer to go out and put on a great show. My daddy always told me, if people going to pay money to see you, make sure you give them their money's worth. Because these are real, like, these people understand, these are people that ain't got afford, they can't really afford to be spending these 20s and 50s to watch a terrible performance. So I just go, I like to see these kids jump up and down and dance. I'm actually having a show in Atlanta soon. I will invite you guys there, you guys to come.
Yeah, man. I'd love to do it. Well, we were just talking about it. You were in Belgium at Tomorrowland. You DJed?
Yes, I was in Belgium at Tomorrowland. I'm actually still on the Shaq Summer League tour. I did about 15 cities. I did Croatia, Belgium.
Wow.
Ibiza. Next week, I go to Boston, New York, and Montreal.
All right, man. I was just in Ibiza. I was sitting next to Dimitri Vegas. I didn't realize Shaq was on the bill, man. That's wild. It is Shaqtos with us here. Shaquille O'Neal on the Wade4.com hotline. So entrepreneur, actor. How much are you having fun still doing the TNT thing?
Of course. TNT. I love Charles. Love Ernie. Love Kenny. Just love that they allow us to be like you guys. Funny.
Yeah, man, we enjoy it. We enjoy you guys. You know this. I've told you. You guys get the best thing going, just because you do. You keep it 1,000. By the way, speaking of parties, your Shaq Funhouse for Super Bowl,
that was a bomb.
Woo! Oof. It was crazy. It was so crazy.
You couldn't move.
No, little John. We were backstage, and I heard little John go, "This is crazy. I got to get out of here." And everybody's like, "Man, it was that packed, Shaq." You know.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Well, keep doing your thing. We appreciate the time today. We look forward to catching up with you. And, yeah, let us come hang out and see you DJ, man, whenever as the schedule comes about.
No problem.
All right, man. Appreciate you, Shaq.
All right. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Again, guys, it's Papa John's Corner of State Street and 10th on Tech's campus Saturday, noon to 5, free, open to the public. And if you missed the beginning of the interview, basically, I love how Shaq referred to it. Look, it went down with the former Papa John's owner. They had to rebrand it. And, again, what a better personality. Well, you couldn't find one than Shaq to do it, and he's on board, and there you go. And he's now a franchisee, and he gets it.
Things happen, and I'm curious to see where this goes. I like the fact that the biggest thing for me, Mike, is he just didn't go, yeah, I'll do it. I'm going to do it in Atlanta, and I want to be a part of the ownership and bought franchises here. So pretty cool stuff. Hey, man, we got a lot more to get to, guys. It is Dukes and Bell here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Lots of stuff going on around the NFL. Did you watch Hard Knocks last night?
Yes, I did, and I thought that was the first one. It was really, really interesting. There was some good stuff going on. There was a Georgia Tech connection, by the way, with a former tight end, and we'll talk more about that coming up. But I got a kick. Frank Caliendo, by the way, may join us. He's got some things going on. He's taking his daughter to the doctor's office, but he's going to try to reach out to us around 4:40, and we'll talk to Frank because he made a cameo last night because he does a really good John Gruden impression.
Hilarious.
And it was really kind of funny in the meeting room. I don't want to give it all away for folks who hadn't seen it yet, but it did debut last night. But the thing is, and I was talking to D. Lett about this on Twitter, dear Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC, I cannot get a barometer on Antonio Brown. I just, to me, it's almost like he's childlike. I mean, he has a business side, and he has all these people kissing his butt, and John Gruden kind of inferred it, basically. You know, they had an Australian mathematician statistician, and I don't even know what this guy was talking. I don't even know what the number was. How many yards he had to run or yards after the catch or whatever the fact was or whatever his speed was. Nobody gives a crap about any of that. It's a matter of getting in the end zone, right?
But
anyway, they had these numbers that they were throwing out yesterday afternoon with a bunch of sycophants in the room with Antonio Brown. I don't understand it. I don't know how this is going to end up. The Raiders, everyone talks about they could move away. They really can't. They've got to make this work. You can't trade them. And even if you did try to get rid of him, Carl, you'd take a ridiculous salary cap hit between now and 2021.
I don't know if Gruden is playing with us or not on Hard Knocks, but, Mike, it sounds like he's trying to make this work best as possible, right? He could go the opposite way. I mean, he could be the jerk here.
Well, he's letting Mayock be the bad cop.
And, you know, Gruden is like all in. I can't wait to get him on the field. He's saying all these things. But I don't know, man. Deep down, I have a sense that this thing may blow up because I think at some point Gruden's going to have had enough. And that's a private conversation that may turn public. I just know what Antonio Brown did in Pittsburgh. And at the end of this thing and the end of the run in Pittsburgh, it was not pretty. And I'm with you. It's hard to get a read on where his head is at.
Now, the only other thing I could think of when I was watching this last night, and you and I talked a little bit about this the other day, because of the cryogenic freezing of his feet, which turned out and resulted in frostbite, and his skin is regrowing, and then they got to shave it off and regrow. It's almost like, is he just buying time and stalling? Because he's got to be quite honest, and I will give Antonio Brown all the credit in the world. He must be in some excruciating pain when he's running, putting cuts, making moves on those feet, when almost every other week he then sheds a layer of skin off his feet, because that's basically what they talked about last night.
It's disgusting.
So it seems like not sure when he's going to be fully effective, but is this just simply a stall tactic till he can really get out there and do what he's going
to
do?
We've got more coming up. Hear what John Gruden had to say about it last night on Hard Knocks. Antonio Brown speaks. Also, Jerry Jones talking about a contract that really made him feel special. It's all coming up next on Dukes and Bell. Thanks to the big fella, Shaquille O'Neal, Hall of Famer, jumping on the show with us. It is online, it will be, at 929thegame.com. And a reminder to Atlanta United supporters, head over to Rera Irish Pub in Midtown this Friday night starting at 8 o'clock for the Atlanta United Orlando Watch Party. Hey, I mentioned you will hear John Gruden coming up as part of our NFL Blitz. That is 20 minutes away, and Jerry Jones as well. We will get to our headline segment here in just a bit. A lot of people still upset, Mike, as we started the show talking about the Braves, and rightfully so, about what went down last night. A win is a win is a win, but when one of your stars gets thrown at purposely, it upsets you. And here's the other thing. For anybody, and Mike mentioned this for the last 2 days, and again, you know, we're not talking at you. We're talking with you or to you. This is a conversation. But sometimes we have to be adamant in saying, the whole Snicker pulling Acuna thing was not a big deal. And last night was a prime example of the manager doing exactly what he needs to do, and that's defend one of his stars.
Right. And what's the point then with the umpire issuing a warning when another Braves player gets hit later in the game? You know, Mattingly is old school, but old school to the point where, you know, he really just looks like a horse's ass. You know, Mattingly really just looks like an angry, bitter guy at this point. And we looked at it earlier. Acuna lit him up, had a bunch of RBIs, bunch of hits against Miami down there in that last series we played. You know the story. You know, so for whatever reason, Mattingly's developed a mean-on for Ronald Acuna. And his pitchers, if you guys don't understand how that works, you think a pitcher just arbitrarily throws at a guy the first pitch of the game? You know, to a guy who's had success. Now, again, for some folks, as you said, we're not trying to be, you know, talking down to you, but some younger parts of the audience who don't understand how it's worked, you know, for years in baseball. And if you think that's just dumb. Why would you do an eye for an eye? You got to protect your guy. As Carl laid out, you cannot let other teams think you can come into SunTrust, plunk the star players, and get away with it. Not the way it works. So we got 2 games left with these clowns. It would be nice to have a sizable lead, but because our bullpen is still such a question mark, you really can't start having your starting pitcher plunk guys. So you got to leave that off to Sean Newcomb. I got to be honest, he's probably better at that than he would be hitting the strike zone. So you know, you got a bunch of guys if you want to. The point I'm getting to is you won't see these knuckleheads again until spring training if you want to get after somebody in the next 2 games.
And to me, that's key. First of all, you have a 6-game lead. Somebody hit me up today and they said, Dukes, listen, I'm worried about the division. This will not hamper them from winning the division, okay? You still have to go hit, field, and pitch. More importantly, pitch. If you're telling me that throwing at one of their guys and sending the message that this is not going to be tolerated is going to somehow have our team cave and lose the division, then we weren't that good anyway. So this is one of those things, guys. Again, baseball has always policed itself. This is one of the things that happens. And so when you're minding your own business and you're playing good baseball, like Acuna, who's going out night in and night out, and you don't want to throw him a first-pitch fastball, so be it. You want to walk him to start the game, so be it. But this whole we're going to hit him because he's killing us crap, you got to get him out. And if you can't get him out, then Don Mattingly, stop with this nonsense. We've got to also, guys, talk about what else is going on with the Falcons. And, Mike, we're a day away from the third preseason game of the season or of the year, I guess. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation about what we're going to see with this Falcon team against the Redskins. To me, I've got actually more questions right now than I do answers.
Right.
And I'm hoping by the end of Thursday night that more of my questions have been answered. Friday we'll be talking about it with you guys. And obviously Friday, Atlanta United at Orlando FC, pregame at 7:30. So a lot heading towards the weekend. But right now, I mean, I probably have 5 or 6 questions, legitimate questions about our football team. I don't know if anybody has an answer for. I don't know. Tell me how good this run game is going to be. I'll wait. Tell me if we're going to consistently protect Matt Ryan. I'll wait. Tell me if Giorgio Tavecchio can be counted on. Tavecchio.
Oh.
I'll wait. I mean, you can laugh and say, oh, that these are not big deals. They are. Mike, what about our right tackle? Who is our starting right tackle, and do you trust him? I'll wait.
Yeah, that's the problem. See, the offensive line that we've invested so much in and we've spent so much time talking about is still a big question mark. You know, because of the Caleb McGarry medical situation, can't get him out there just yet, or at least it's going to take an extended period of time. So we've already rehashed that. We lost out on this entire five-week preseason to show that McGarry could beat out Sombrello, which I think anybody who's been watching the Falcons knows he's better than him right now. Then you talk about the other positions. You know, is Jamon Brown going to be up to the task, you know, at the left guard? You know, the Jets have got a really good defensive front line, and they came after us, man. And I know that, you know, they were blitzing and Greg Williams was doing his thing. But still, I mean, that's still a situation that you're going to see in the regular season. So I don't think you should discount that. What are the Redskins going to do? They got a decent defense.
No, they do. So, again, this one a little bit more serious from the standpoint of the starters playing and trying to get some traction. I'm hoping that they will. I'm hoping that we feel a lot better. You know, Friday, Mike, we come in here and go, whoo, okay. You know what? I feel a lot better than I did the last couple of weeks, because if I come in here and you come in here and we've given up sacks and Matt's getting hit when they run the ball and there are drops and DeVecchio's missing kicks and there's special team penalties,
right,
nothing will have changed from the first preseason game.
Yeah, I mean, you and I were joking around about, I got a Vegas trip coming up a week from Friday, and I'm like, man, you know, the Falcons, some sports books are still 30, 35, anywhere to 40 to 1 odds for the Falcons. And I was like, man, this is a great bet. 30 to 1. This team's got a lot of talent. We got an MVP, we got a Julio Jones. If you can't do any better than you did last year, we're no better. You know, we're not going to win the Super Bowl if Matt Ryan is going to get hit as much as he was last year. If we can't run the ball, and again, that's a great question. Let's hope that we get free out there. I mean, you and I, as much as the biggest stars of the game are not playing this preseason,
right,
we have to know that free in a rhythm of regular game conditions can do the job, right? Have to. So we got to see him do that, because I'm not sure we are such a hot bet right now because of the offensive line. Defense is what it is. You know, we hope the pass rush is going to evolve with Dan Quinn watching over it. We do what we've done with Tyler Davison and some of the guys we brought in. And if we get back to 17, we'll be fine. That's a top 15, top 10 defense, potentially.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. Craig behind the glass, our engineer. Bo Morgan producing the show. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start with our Braves. Keiko guys, 6 innings last night. 1 earned run. That's a quality start.
I was just able to make some pitches to some of their damaged guys that I didn't do in Miami. The cutters weren't rolling in there. They were pretty crisp.
So what do we get tonight? All right. Well, I'm not sure. I needed Keiko to pitch well, and he did. 4-5 now on the season after going 6 innings. But, Mike, the focus is really still on this starting pitching, because as much as I love what I've seen from the bullpen, and I'm going back the last 3 starts, last 3 games, bullpen's given up 1 run. 1 run. 14 strikeouts.
Shane Green had 2 hits last night, but he also struck out the side.
He did. 11 and a third innings for the bullpen the past 3. So, positive, but I still need our starters to be better. So, you know, what are you expecting tonight? What do you get? Well, I don't know. I mean, do they come out and do they immediately hit the leadoff guy tonight, or do we come out and pitch?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you pick your spots. There's only 2 games left, guys, with the Marlins, and then it's all – there's some stupid interleague play, which I hate in the dog days of summer when you're trying to grind out the division title. But we are done with these idiots for the after the game tomorrow. So what do you think? What do you want to see? I mean, would you be willing to sacrifice a quality start to have a guy get ejected? You want to see Julio get the boot early on tonight? See, we don't need that. We need Julio to prove he can get back, because Julio's had a couple of, you know, mixed bag
stinkers,
outings, right?
Some stinkers, yeah.
Last outing was god-awful. I mean, it was one of those you just burn the tape. But can Julio step it up? And then if you get a nice sizable lead, but again, as we know, no lead is safe with our bullpen, despite the improvements you've just discussed.
Past 3.
But as I said on Twitter, let's hope we get a nice lead, and we could call up somebody from Gwinnett. I said, you know, it would be a perfect person to start plunking guys.
Who's that?
Dropping Marlins like bowling pins. I think Sean Newcomb could excel in this area. Your thoughts?
And maybe that's the route. We'll see what Snicker does. We'll be talking about it throughout the course of the afternoon with you guys. And, of course, you're welcome at 404-741-0929 to hit us up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Julio Jones, his agent's in town. We know that. I don't know if Jimmy's still here, but Julio Jones saying, Mike, he's not rushing anything.
I didn't put no timeline on it.
for me, I just do what I need to do to stay ready.
So the deal, there's no announcement. Maybe there will be before the first week of the season. Is that what you're guessing right now?
Again, honestly, brother, straight up, I don't give a crap. I don't like the fact the guy's getting a raise second year after a bump when he's got a contract where Arthur made him the highest paid guy. So they can do this now. They can do it for Christmas. The cool thing is, so far, 11 seems like he's cool with the whole process anyway.
Yeah.
Now, that may change, but right now he's saying all the right things.
Well, see, here's the deal, too. And I think he's cool because he's been promised. See, this is not one of those false promises. You know, like maybe your boss says, hey, we're going to do something.
Well, that gets close to home.
And then it doesn't happen. This is coming from billionaire Arthur Blank, who looked this man in the face and said, he's going to be a Falcon for life. So I think Julio is satisfied with that. Here's the problem I have, though, Mike. If you roll into the season, God forbid, without a new deal and something happens, now what happens? That's where Julio is. So I don't know if I want to do that.
He's under contract, okay? Promises are great.
I don't know if I want to do that.
I mean, it's not like who you think. See, you just laid it out. We talk about Antonio Brown. We talk about the Melvin Gordons and all these other guys who have their head so far up their butt, they don't know what's what. Julio has never been that guy with this team. But I would be curious to see if we do get into the regular season and the deal's not in place, how the vibe would change, or maybe he stays the course.
All right.
I mean, he's not a jerk. We know that. That's why we like the guy. That's why the divide. Him and Antonio Brown, I think you know why you take Julio number one every day.
We're going to let you hear Jeff Lorenowitz. We will, coming up as part of our Five Stripes preview. Stay tuned as we got to take on Orlando, and we don't like them. But coming up next, NFL Blitz. We'll take you around the National Football League here on Dukes and Bell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.